Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least 9 people are now dead after tornadoes hit the Nashville area early this morning. Nashville fire officials saying as many as 40 buildings have collapsed. Nashville Mayor John Cooper.
Last night was a reminder about how fragile life is. That at any moment, an event can show up and make us all too painfully aware of this.
Those tornadoes touched down just after midnight local time while most people were sleeping. Voters are casting their ballots in 14 Super Tuesday primary states. Bernie Sanders is leading in the biggest states. Pundits are interested to see how former VP Joe Biden does after 3 other moderate candidates suspended their campaigns after disappointing finishes in the South Carolina primary, the 3 endorsing Biden now. This is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Longtime MSNBC host Chris Matthews is calling it quits. The hardball host announcing his retirement on the air last evening. It comes after criticisms recently over comments he made about Bernie Sanders and remarks he made to some female co-workers, the 74-year-old noting that it's clear that compliments about women's appearances that many people, including himself, thought were still okay, were not okay and never were. Matthews hosted Hardball since 1997. A California man convicted of cyber-stalking families of victims of a Florida mass shooting will be spending 5 years in prison. Brandon Fleury was sentenced yesterday to federal prison. The 22-year-old targeted families and friends of the Parkland High School shooting in Florida. Prosecutors say he used aliases that included the accused Parkland shooter and serial killer Ted Bundy. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
Pope Francis still feeling under the weather, apparently, but not suffering from anything more serious than a cold. An Italian newspaper is reporting today that the head of the Roman Catholic Church has been given a test for coronavirus, but it came back negative. That word coming just days after the pontiff announced that he was skipping a Lent retreat for the first time since his election, and he also called off most of his public schedule last week. Facebook is pulling out of South by Southwest this year. The annual festival in Austin, Texas, brings together some of the biggest names in tech and music and film. But coronavirus fears are having a serious impact on would-be attendees. Monday's confirmation of Facebook's no-show plan, coming after Twitter announced over the weekend it's also skipping the event. The event is set to run from Friday, the 13th of March, through the 22nd. And game show host Alex Trebek is lending his hand to the Los Angeles homeless crisis, the Jeopardy host donating $100,000 to the Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission, a nonprofit that's dedicated to prevention, reduction, and elimination of poverty, hunger, and homelessness. The nonprofit provides nearly 290,000 meals and 93,000 nights of safe shelter every year. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us sharing a part of your day. For more information, you know the address, right? Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. That's the address for me as far as an email is concerned, but the website is BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Lauren Wright joins us now, associate research scholar and lecturer in politics and public affairs at Princeton University. And Lauren, I really apologize to you because I'm calling you on such a slow day. It's almost like nothing's happening in the world of politics. What's going on?
Yeah, I know there's nothing to talk about, Bill, but we'll figure something out.
Okay. Well, recently we got Buttigieg out, Steyer out, and then just hearing that that Klobuchar is out.
Yes, and these are all really good things for Joe Biden, especially since Amy Klobuchar is planning to endorse him in Texas before a large audience. So hopefully these polls for Biden might shift around a little bit, but Sanders still has a lead in a lot of the big states, including Texas, where hopefully Biden, I think, is trying to change some things around. It's a southern state, like South Carolina, he performed well in, but very different demographics.
Exactly. Well, is this, in this game of chess that's going on, I mean, basically we're down to three players. You got Bloomberg's money, you got Bernie Sanders following, and following from that is Joe Biden. Is there enough oxygen left to where he could really be a player, or more and more, like you and I talked before, we're looking at a brokered convention here?
I don't know if we're looking at a brokered convention just yet. These things can change very quickly. And, you know, you have to remember that one very important development since 2016 is that the superdelegates no longer, for Democrats, are voting on the first ballot. They have to wait till the second ballot now. So, you know, that could be a big shift. Bernie was loathe, you know, that might be a strong word, but he was not happy about Hillary taking the lead heading into the convention with those super delegates, if you remember.
Right.
So he thinks this new system might help him. What I would advise people to remember is that superdelegates often behave very much like pledge delegates. So there's not a lot of variation in what these people choose. That brokered convention hasn't happened in 70 years. So I still have faith that the process will work itself out before then. If not, they'll just head on to that second ballot. And, you know, it won't be a completely unexpected outcome either way.
Exactly. No, I hear what you're saying. I think the other aspect of 2016, make it 2015, that was especially loathful for Bernie was the fact that 3 days ahead of the primary of California, all of a sudden the DNC says, whoops, oh, miscount. Hillary's that, actually, she's qualified. She's got all the numbers. it brought the whole parade to a screeching halt. And Bernie, I was surprised. I thought, what happened to Bernie here? Did they, like, inject him with something to, kind of loot him out or something? I don't know. It was like a really muffled reaction after all that.
Well, we have to remember that Democrats have a very different primary system than the Republicans. First of all, both primary systems are spread out among these states, so voters can change their mind and they can watch earlier contests mm-hmm. and update their preferences. But with Democrats, a lot of these delegates are awarded proportionally, so there are many chances for the race to change. It doesn't, still Joe Biden does have a chance to pull ahead here. And I think that might be good. And, Republican elites, at least, the party who wants to control the process and ensure that the best candidate wins, might look at someone like Bernie and say, this is not the best candidate to beat Trump. The flip side of that is you want it to be as democratic as possible, small d democratic, and so mm-hmm. Bernie supporters don't like the rules. They feel that the moderates and the status quo have hijacked the party rules.
Well, and it's being threatened again. The comment was made that what Joe Biden needs is a Clyburn endorsement all the way through to the convention, but maybe better than that, what do you think about Barack Obama finally coming out?
That would be a game changer, I believe, for Joe Biden. I don't know if Barack Obama will do it. I think he has indicated he's not going to get involved until there is a nominee. But if he were to step up for Joe Biden, I do think that would make a big difference. And, I have to say, I think the media has done a bit of disservice to Joe Biden. He's a strong candidate. He's very well known and very well liked. And, by writing him off so early before South Carolina, I don't think that was quite the right narrative to be pushing forward. And the media is so important. The reason why we count early states for so much is not just because of the delegate count. It's because of the attention that they get and because of the narrative that takes over, that the person who's won those first one or two is going to be the leader going forward. And that's just not how the process tends to play out, especially within the Democratic Party.
Exactly. Well, but you've got to admit, Biden didn't hurt the cause with a Gatling gun of miscues and misstatements. I mean, saying he's running for Senate. I understand, look at the pace that people must keep in order to run for office is absolutely incredible. Because presidents from ever and candidates forever have made misstatements. But it's like, every night there's something new that comes up that, really shakes your confidence in Biden's ability to be able to carry the day.
I think that's a fair point. I try to be as consistent as possible, Bill, and so mm-hmm. I'm going to be the first one to point to Trump not always saying the right things.
Oh, exactly.
That's why
I say
right.
It's equal opportunity when it comes
yes.
to politicians.
There's equal opportunity, but what Republicans say about Trump when they're pushed on this is that's his authentic self. He talks like a normal person. He makes mistakes. He makes misstatements. And so if we're going to apply that standard to everyone, it has to be Trump and Biden, and it has to be all of these candidates that do slip up. And I think it's either a fair point that we want to have the sharpest person possible, or we just have to say, I guess that's the genuine person. They're a little bit older and they misspeak sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Or you get somebody from New York who's always been brash and just lets it fly. I was just talking with a former business associate with Mitt Romney, and I agreed with him. I said, look, I don't
I have a lot of compassion for Mitt Romney and the relationship and the dynamic between he and Trump. And I don't blame him for being irritated. But voting to have him impeached was a step too far. I think maybe it's just one of those things. I mean, you could tweet back at the president or maybe have a back room saying, look, at you know, the things you said are just absolutely disgusting, what you said about me. I can handle the other stuff, but, you know, attacking my family or attacking, you know, my moral character, we've got issues. But to go and make the other step to say, look, I'm going to vote to have you impeached, taken out of office when the voters, deserve that right. And they're going to get to be able to exercise that right coming soon.
Well, we have a constitutional provision for impeachment for a reason, and it's the decision of the Senate for a reason. And as someone who spent a little bit of time with Mitt Romney, I think he was genuine. I think he acted I don't question it. Was some kind of get back towards Trump or his big moment. I believe he thought Trump broke the law.
Yeah. Well, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Dr. Lauren Wright after this. Stay with us.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
As a business owner, when was the last time you asked yourself if you have the right commercial insurance coverage? You need business insurance to protect everything you're building. One disaster without the right insurance could hurt your business, and larger deals you're trying to close may require that you have it. We recommend CoverWallet for all your business insurance needs. In just 2 minutes, with their award-winning technology, they can offer you free competitive quotes from top insurance carriers nationwide. CoverWallet has helped tens of thousands of businesses, startups, restaurants, truckers, construction companies, landscaping companies, beauty salons, consultants, and they can help you. No business is too big or too small, and it's a free call to find out. Protect your business. Get the right insurance for your business. Call CoverWallet right now.
800-559-5523. 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez. Dr. Lauren Wright continues with us as we're talking, you know, things political after all. I mean, she's an associate research scholar and lecturer in politics and public affairs at Princeton University, author of two books. Lauren, as we were talking earlier, you know, and going down the roster of Democrats, I mean, hey, we're in the process, just like we went through with you know, the Republicans, you know, they had 18 people to choose from in the previous presidential cycle. It was the Democrats' turn this time, and they're starting to whittle out. What about Elizabeth Warren? Very little is saying about her, and you know, although she's made a statement, she just believes that she's got to hang in there. Maybe it's because, you know, she's got lots of coats yet to wear, and she says she can wear them all the way up to, you know, to the convention.
I'm so glad you're bringing up Elizabeth Warren. I think it's a very interesting case, and a lot of people are talking about how she has very similar policy positions to Bernie, but she has a much stronger record than he does. And, mm-hmm. you know, yes. A lot of those ideas I don't agree with, but Elizabeth Warren has done the work.
Yes.
She has a stronger voting record than he does. She's done the banking reform and the, you know, hearing aids over the counter, the healthcare reform that Bernie talks about. She's actually the workhorse and he's the show horse. And so in that way, I do believe she's being held to a higher standard. She's put out these detailed plans and candidates are expected to do so, but she was then questioned on the details of those plans. But where are the questions for Bernie? I still
exactly.
don't think he
no.
has been held to account in the same way other candidates have been.
You're exactly right. I mean, her chops when it comes to policy, I mean, to me, it's obvious. You got to really stick your head in the sand and just ignore her obvious gifts. There's things, like you say, that we don't agree with, or at least I don't as well. I'll speak for myself. And but it is impressive that she has done the work. The challenge, though, is when everything is reduced to an 8-second soundbite, you
yeah.
still have to find a way to be effective in 8 seconds. And because she's done the work, it's hard for her to reduce it to the lowest common denominator because she just feels so responsible because she's done the work. You know, it's like, I don't blame her. You know, I don't blame her for her situation. But the challenge is that she's got to find a way to be able to, and it may be too, and it's probably too late in this particular cycle. But going forward, and I think a lesson for future politicians is that, yes, you can do the work, but you still have to find a way to reduce it to a bumper sticker slogan.
That's right. When you have so many different positions, and even if you have the record to back it up on so many different issues, people don't remember you for one thing. And they do remember Bernie for these, you know, these sort of bumper sticker statements that Trump was also very good at in 2016. Medicare for all. You know, we're a revolution, it's the billionaires' fault, and millionaires and billionaires. People associate Bernie with those things, but I don't think that we have dug in enough, and I'll clump academics into that happily, you know, along with journalists and everyone else. Bernie does not have the substance, and he does not have the record to back up those positions, and he has not been pushed on it. And I think Democrats will regret it if they elect someone who has his style and his positions without the government experience. They'll be making the same mistake that Republicans made with Trump in 2016. He's great stylistically. He gets huge crowds. People love him and know him. But if he is going to have trouble if Democrats elect him and he beats Trump, which I don't think he will, but he will have trouble putting those policies into place because he does not have the kind of experience pushing legislation over the line that his competitors have.
Can you not give Trump credit for what's happening with the economy?
I am very careful about who I attribute blame and success to with the economy, because economists have studied this for decades, and they know that policy has an effect on economic outcomes, or I should say at least the stock market on average, and surely when you cut taxes, that affects the stock market, and Republicans are perceived to be better on the economy. They are. They've won that over Democrats for a long time. But when you look at other things, like Democrats tend to have higher GDPs on average, economists don't know that that's because Republicans are better or Democrats are better, because there are such lagged effects with regard to policies putting into place. So I think it's dangerous when presidents say, look at this economy, it's unbelievable, it's all me. And then when the economy starts to tank and they're suddenly saying, oh, well, that's not me, I didn't do that. You know, you have to be either responsible for the economy, or you have to say it's a big sweeping force that I don't necessarily have complete control over.
Right. Well, there's ways, I mean, to play with the numbers. I mean, we know that under the Bill Clinton administration, there was lots of major cutbacks in the military. And it really gave us this, you know, this presentation that the economy was doing so much better that we had better control of our budget. But then 9/11 came. And then next thing you know, we're sending men and women overseas to go fight a war, and they're sending letters back home saying, hey, Mom, Dad, go to Home Depot, get me some sheet metal. What do you mean get you sheet metal? Well, we got to reinforce these zombies. What do you mean reinforce zombies? What are you talking about? And we found out that these kids were overseas fighting a war, and they were getting pummeled because they were ill-equipped. So it is a tough challenge. There's no question, Lauren. I agree with you. I mean, we could all sit in a room together, and if we wanted to be honest and genuine about it, you got to be able to make some tough decisions that get us out of that quid pro quo arrangement that has, you know, ballooned our budget, our deficit, to $23 trillion. Somehow we've got to responsibly deal with this outside of the realm of, okay, what's, I'll give you this, but what's in it for me? Like, as if, you know, the military budget is so, you know, it only helps Republicans, that it doesn't help, you know, Democrats. I mean, last time I checked, I mean, security is for both Republicans, for all Americans, you know, but for somehow it gets into, well, that's your project, here's mine, so let's balance it out. And meanwhile, you know, the people are paying for this incredible budget increase.
Yes, that's absolutely true. We, you know, I think people all need to look within their own party, no matter what your party affiliation is, and say, am I holding my party to account when they're in the White House, or am I just giving, you know, writing them a blank check because I would rather that person be in than a Democrat or the Republican? And I think Democrats absolutely let things slide under Obama that they purported to care a lot about, immigration in particular. Foreign policy in particular, and the same with Donald Trump and the deficit. The Republican hawks that have been there for the deficit under Democrats are not speaking up quite enough if they care about what they say they care about.
Well, I got in trouble because I'm calling for an audit of the military budget.
Well, I think everyone agrees we should be more careful with regard to that. We'll see what Trump's, you know, his next, I guess, next year's budget now, because he said he is going to cut back if he gets reelected.
Well, in my conversation, two conversations recent, one with the Secretary of Interior, David Bernhardt, and also with Marsha Blackburn last week, I said, do me a favor, take the message back to the president. I mean, his initial salvo of questions to his cabinet and others in the White House was, how are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? No doubt he has been a job creator, and we've generated a lot of jobs under this administration, and because that's been the target focus. And I believe the target focus for his next four-year term should be, how are we doing with the deficit? If he keeps asking the question about the deficit, then I think we might be able to realize a reduction and downward movement of that deficit. That's it could very well be my delusion, and you'll remind me of that later, okay?
Yes, I'll promise.
But I just think that there is that possibility. We got about a minute left, here we are. Exciting times, and then in the midst of all this, the coronavirus, right?
Yes, I mean, it's something that I do think we should be concerned about. I think there's got to be some middle ground between people saying this as a hoax and saying that we're absolutely doomed, and it is the White House's responsibility to strike that balance. Trump is the most visible world leader, and so he really needs to dig in here and be responsible.
Yeah, and we need to hold our politicians and our elected officials on both sides to account, because this is an American issue. This is a bipartisan issue. This is not a political issue. It is one that requires all hands on deck for all of us to be vigilant and responsible. Dr. Lauren Wright, Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University, has been with us. Dr. Wright, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is sponsored by SAP Concur. According to new research from SAP Concur, nearly 60% of business travelers have changed their travel plans because they didn't feel safe. More than 77% of female travelers say they have experienced harassment or mistreatment while traveling. Nearly 40% have been ignored by service workers, and nearly a third have been catcalled during a business trip. Kim Albright, CMO for SAP Concur.
An equal world is an enabled world, and that's the theme of this year's International Women's Day. At SAP Concur, we believe employers need to work harder to better enable women and other business travelers to stay safe. Employers can do this through better training, technology, and other resources. For example, there are apps that can help travelers understand the safety levels of hotel locations, and other resources to identify developing dangers.
Executives, corporate travel managers, and employees can learn more at concur.com/travel tips.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least 9 people are now dead after tornadoes hit the Nashville area early this morning. Nashville fire officials saying as many as 40 buildings have collapsed. Nashville Mayor John Cooper.
Last night was a reminder about how fragile life is. That at any moment, an event can show up and make us all too painfully aware of this.
Those tornadoes touched down just after midnight local time while most people were sleeping. Voters are casting their ballots in 14 Super Tuesday primary states. Bernie Sanders is leading in the biggest states. Pundits are interested to see how former VP Joe Biden does after 3 other moderate candidates suspended their campaigns after disappointing finishes in the South Carolina primary, the 3 endorsing Biden now. This is USA Radio News.
So here's the choice. Some people say the USA is finished. It's evil, a has-been, full of hate and injustice. The U.S. Constitution should be trashed and the Bill of Rights abolished. No free speech, no gun ownership, competition and free markets are bad. We're all too stupid. For our own good, the government must own everything and know all your secrets.
Other people say that America has created the freest, richest, happiest, most generous society that has ever existed in the world. That's why millions of people are desperate to come here and escape their brutal lives in Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, and 100 other countries.
In America, we have the right to succeed, the right to our own living, the right to have a family, the right to believe in God, the right to have our own ideas, the right to be safe and secure, and the right to be left alone.
Where do you stand? Help us save the Constitution and restore the American dream. Go to SaveMyFreedom.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Well, that is a fact, Jack, and I'm telling you, America needs to increase their situational awareness, as Pastor Jeffers said, to realize that the fight is on, that we've got to fight here domestically, and yes, we look all around us, and even existential threats continue, whether it's North Korea, you know, firing off missiles again in the sea. I mean, they just cannot help themselves. Well, here to talk about Afghanistan, what's going on, the latest in South Africa and Syria as well, is William Ogborn. He's a strategic communications and public diplomacy expert with a highly successful track record as both a director and strategist for U.S. government entities like the U.S. House of Representatives, the U.S. Departments of Defense, State, and Commerce, and USAID, as well as NATO and other private companies. His deployments include Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Libya. So he's been there and bought the T-shirt, as we say. William, good to have you back with us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, lots to catch up on. Let's first talk about Afghanistan. Why not? I mean, this thing is you know, we're trying to work this out. The president, you know, says, look, at 20 years is enough in dealing with this endless war with Afghanistan. And, you know, what have we learned from all this, William?
Well, you know, sometimes I'm not sure what D.C., especially the D.C. establishment, has learned. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought we'd learned our lessons from the Vietnam War, and we try to take those lessons when we first went into Iraq to not get caught into a quagmire. And it's like we tossed all those lessons out and are just keeping making those same mistakes over and over again. And the first mistake that we keep making is, what is our in-state goal? Mm-hmm. And I have asked this question for more than a decade in this town, and I can tell you no one has an answer for that. What do we want out of Afghanistan? Nobody's going to say. Mm-hmm. They don't know, and that's why we keep getting stuck. And even with this peace accord, they violated immediately, the Taliban did. Mm-hmm. But what do we want to see out of Afghanistan? They don't know. They just don't know.
Well, I think that, especially with Vietnam, and I was in the Marine Corps at the time, and certainly not at any higher level. I was working for the Public Affairs Office in Camp Pendleton. But from what I could see was that, just from the very basics, is that conducting war by committee doesn't work, in my humble perspective. And that seems to be the case. I mean, you got to be able to say, look, if we're going to war, we got to let the generals who just, they only know how to break stuff and kill people. You let them out of the cage until, you know, diplomacy can be rendered again, and you come back to the table where they say enough is enough. And, you know, I think we learned that in World War II, as harsh as it was, is that, you know, as James Dobson used to say, he says, if little Johnny stands before you with his hands on his hips wanting to get spanked, he feels that he shouldn't get disappointed. And I feel the same way about these aggressors overseas that stand there in front of you with their hands on their hips saying they want you dead, and they continue to do damage to their own people and wreak havoc to the world. Then I think we should take them for their word and let the generals out of the cage and say, go get them.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the problems is I think we keep trying to think of every war as we wanting to see World War II happen again. In terms of that end state, where suddenly all of Europe is going to kind of go along with our Marshall Plan, or Japan is going to go along with whatever MacArthur says to reform their government. And that's not the case. We're not fighting those types of wars. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go into Vietnam and suddenly make Vietnam Western Europe. And actually, right. Yes, getting out of Vietnam wound up being the best thing for Vietnam. Now you go over there, and even North Vietnamese former soldiers say, we love America.
Right.
And it took us not understanding what the mentality was of the Vietnamese, getting out of the way, letting actual capitalism and democracy flourish in that country, taking a while. Mm-hmm. And now it's a successful country.
Exactly.
We're not going to see the same thing with Afghanistan.
Right.
But we need to recognize that the only thing we need out of there is the base to box in Iran. That's all they really want.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just had that and left everything to it, I don't think anybody would care what's going on in that country.
Well, and I appreciate Trump's strategy in as much as saying, look, why should America be footing the bill all the time? What about the neighbors there? What about Pakistan and the other immediate neighbors around Afghanistan? Don't they have a vested interest in Afghanistan being a peaceful nation?
Well, that's part of been our problem, is that Pakistan has been meddling since the very beginning. And, of course, we went in there and we told Pakistan, hey, you're going to do this and this is what's up. Mm-hmm. But just follow our lead. And Pakistan didn't like that. So they've been trying to work against us the whole time. And you've, of course, seen Obama even said something about Pakistan, you know, being a real problem back when he was first getting elected. And Trump has also said the same kind of things. Mm-hmm. There's a recognition that Pakistan is an issue, but nobody wants to really address that. And, you know, we're also having to deal with Pakistan being belligerent towards India, and we're wanting to get closer to India.
Exactly, right.
And then there's also all the water rights issues that go in. So it's all these little different things that are going on that most people aren't aware of. It's not simply a battle over territory. It's a battle over resources, a battle over national pride. It's a battle over water.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start to think about that, you realize, oh, this isn't going to go away just tomorrow because we can kill as many people as we want.
Exactly.
We're not fighting about killing.
Well, but at least I appreciate what this administration is doing in terms of offering, you know, some sort of carrot to them and just, you know, casting a vision of saying, hey, wouldn't it be nice? Imagine if you are, you know, providing for yourself and your families and, you know, the peace that you say you want, you know, America will come alongside and promote that part. I think it's a fresh narrative as opposed to, as I say, you know, the harsh side of me, only because I've seen enough of this to say, look, if it gets down to the point where it's untenable, and they want to, they want to create war and terrorism, then, you're bringing this upon yourself, and there needs to be consequences that need to be met immediately with some definiteness to it, as opposed to, the patty cake kind of process, I think, at times that we have taken. And all we've done is just, kind of allowed this, like with Afghanistan, to be mired in, 20 years. And you asked the question right at the beginning, which many of us have asked as well, William, is what's the end game? In the parlance of Congress in D.C., they always talk about an exit strategy. it's like, wait a minute, what's the end game before the exit strategy, right?
Right. And when you don't define those terms at the beginning, it creates all kinds of problems. And we see that not only in foreign policy and Afghanistan, and this is something that's been going on, for 20, 30 years of kind of an existential crisis in American foreign policy, not knowing what to do after the Cold War. And it filters into other places that I've wound up working, and sometimes you don't see the pattern first, and then once the pattern becomes clear, you're like, this is the same kind of mired, stuck thinking of, they put these things in that look good, the intentions are right, you understand where the folks are coming from, but they're never thinking, okay, what happens if we don't reach this, miracle end state? What then? Do we rejigger, or do we just keep going the path because that's where the momentum is built and we don't have enough power to stop the inertia? And we see that in Afghanistan. We saw a lot of that also in Iraq and with Syria and with Libya. And, you mentioned working in South Africa area. I'm working in Zimbabwe these days, and I didn't think it was a similar thing, but we see the similar thing there of a of a constant process of, we've been doing this for 20 years. We're supposed to just continue doing it for 20 years.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, just give us one little thing so we can get out. Like,
yes.
Why don't we start to change the paradigm? Because if it's not worked for 20 years, it's not going to work in another 10.
Yeah. Well, it's insane. It's the exact manifestation of insanity. Somehow, what are we waiting for? And maybe this administration is the administration to be decisive and make these decisions and finally call the question. The other challenge I think that occurs, and you would know better, but I think it was on full display during this recent crisis about the Ukraine, and that is, you've got these little fiefdoms running around where you've got state officials that should be coming alongside. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have your opinion, but you're not, when it comes to the end of the day, you're not the one who sets policy. You execute policy, and that policy is set on high. You don't have the pay grade to do that, but that seems to be a little bit of the dynamic, at least from my observation. What do you say?
Yeah, we've seen way too often in the past 4 years of folks who are career kind of implementing their own policies and pushing against policies, when your job, when you are a public servant, is to serve the policy that's put down ahead of you, and that's by the president. You might not agree with it, but that's not your job.
Exactly. We've got more from William Ogburn after this. Stay with us.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. Did you get a flu shot last year? If you answered no, you don't have an excuse this year. The VA and Walgreens have teamed up to make flu shots free for veterans. Here's your veterans tip of the day. Protect yourself by getting a flu shot at Walgreens for free. Protect yourself. Get a flu shot. Last year, 80,000 Americans died from flu. The life you save just might be your own. This is Dan Perkins with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans tip of the day.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
He's a strategic communications and public diplomacy expert. I almost sound like Joe Biden there, forgive me. With a highly successful track record. Well, at least I know the difference between Tuesday and Thursday. And it is Super Tuesday, by the way. Super Thursday. I think he might be waiting for a while because that one just doesn't happen. But surely I digress here for just a moment. William Ogburn continues with us. William, you know, we were talking about the dysfunction of, state operations and what we saw on display during the latest Ukrainian episode, and there's still more to be drawn out of that. I believe the unfortunate thing is we've got, you know, we went through all this exercise. We maligned all these people, including particularly, you know, the President of the United States, who sets policy for the State Department. And you've got these argumentative individuals that were given place to where all of a sudden they could come in and complain about their boss. And the Democrats were happy to give them place and credibility to the point that, hey, we'll even go so far as to fire your boss. We'll humiliate him and 63 million voters that believed in him, and we'll have him impeached. How's that?
Yeah, you know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for my colleagues at State. I worked with them. Great people, and so many of them always trying to do their job and just looking for, they want the policy objective and they're going to follow the policy objective. Mm-hmm. But you also have some folks, and this isn't true in any organization, they're trying to do their own thing. And I've certainly seen, when I've been working with State, a lot of times where I've thought administrations have been holding too tight a grip on them. They wouldn't let them do the job that they were trained for. They didn't trust them. Right. So they were half the time was spent care and feeding in Washington. But at the same time, you can't just let them loose, and you can't allow somebody who's there serving at the pleasure of the president to start making their own policies and enacting policies that are against what the administration wants. If they have a question on that, they have to go back. If they don't get an answer, it doesn't mean you just get to enact it.
Mm-hmm.
It means
right.
you hold and wait and try and get that answer.
Right.
And we've seen too often recently with this administration where people were just taking it on their own because, let's be honest, they didn't like who won the election.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do that as a public servant.
Right. They didn't like who won the election, and they got backing because you've got the Democratic Party complaining about it, speaking in derogatory terms toward the chief executive officer of our country. They maligned him in such a way as if he's so incompetent and whatever. And so I can appreciate how some people in the state, you know, maybe even some fair-minded people that would lose confidence and think, okay, wow, if we're hearing this in the mainstream media all the time about this president being so incompetent, maybe I should step up a little bit. Maybe I should take more of a proactive stance. But the embarrassing thing, and again, I think the law's takeaway here for all of us, is to be able to evaluate, you know, this crash that occurred upon our government, and, you know, pull this in, and also for responsible leaders on both sides to understand and appreciate that their words matter, and what they put out into the body. I say body politic, but it's the body services. It's the people that make up the state and everybody that's involved in the bureaucracy. What is being deposited into their bloodstream in terms of the stinking thinking that Zig Ziglar would refer to?
Well, you know, some of the folks have always looked for that battle that they can fight. And let's also be honest, as human beings, we have a lot of bias. And when mm-hmm. somebody comes in, even if it were somebody like a Jeb Bush, but if Jeb were to come in and suddenly say, hey, I'm really questioning everything that we've been doing for the past 20-plus years. Maybe we're doing it wrong.
Mm.
You're going to have people that are so wedded to their confirmation bias and conviction
right.
bias, but they're not going to want to move off of that.
Right.
Now, the thing is that probably no one else in the race was going to be challenging them like that. I mean, mm. Rubio is more of a New World Order guy. He was going to go along with the same kind of globalist thought. Jeb is Jeb. He was going to go along with that same. And, of course, Hillary was going to be in that same sphere of globalist thinking as well. The only one that's really challenging those kind of globalist attitudes and thoughts was Trump. And
exactly.
I would even argue Sanders has some of that, but, you know, I'm not even going to go down that hole. and so you have somebody coming in and saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had that, what, Washington Post article that talked about Tillerson and the meetings with the heads of the Pentagon,
mm-hmm.
where he called them dopes and losers.
Right.
And a lot of people were offended because they're like, how can you call generals that? And it's like, sometimes generals need to be called that. Sometimes mm-hmm. presidents need to be called that. And the reason, and I always look back at the Romans, who, when a general had a triumph in Rome, in the procession, showing all of his victories and what he's accomplished, there was always somebody sitting next to him that said, you are mortal.
Yes.
And that was to be a check on their thinking and not let to get them too big ahead. And I think sometimes we allow these bureaucrats and we allow these appointees to have too big a head, and somebody, and this time it was the president, was challenging them and saying, we're not thinking about this right. Let's mm-hmm. try thinking about it differently. And they're like, well, you're an idiot. Why would
yeah.
you ever question anything we're doing?
Exactly.
Everything's so wonderful. If everything was so wonderful, you wouldn't see so many populist revolts around the world.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, William, in terms of, you know, the challenge of a presidential cycle, you know, it's less than 4 years, and you've got to make some things happen. Well, you don't have time to sit there and have drinks with everybody and spend time and lay out the plan. You would hope that your cabinet, your associated leaders are pushing down into the people and, you know, breaking it down in such a way. And, of course, I get it. Trump at times doesn't help himself. I think it. At times, as compassionate as he can be, you know, when it comes to, you know, chemistry with some people in terms of getting them on his side and building alliances, he could definitely learn something, because his abrasive tweets, his 3 o'clock in the morning tweets, right, that really attack somebody's character. I mean, it's one thing to say, look, I think you're an idiot if I'm in a private room, but if I'm putting it out on Twitter and it's all over the place, maligning somebody's character who is guilty of serving the country and wanting the best, he may be wrong at that moment and worthy of some adjustment, but there's ways in which to do that that help you build alliances and respect at the same time. But that's, you know, I understand that's Trump's New York state of mind and his nature. But, you know, that's one of the few critical, you know, concerns I have of his style of management.
Yeah, and you also know as well with Trump, he doesn't go after you unless he feels like you've gone after him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these folks now, because of social media, they've felt that they're allowed to just go out and blast their boss. And I don't think any boss ever takes that right. And
right.
If you have behind closed doors disagreements and all that, you can resign, you can try and get through to your boss and see if he'll come around to your way of thinking. You have to learn how to think like your boss in order to make your case to your boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hope that
exactly.
He'll come around. If you just yell at them back and say you're an idiot, you're going to get fired. And you kind of deserve to get fired. Let's
mm-hmm.
be honest. We can't do that in regular America. You're not going to be able to do that when you're talking to the president. It doesn't matter if that president's Trump, if it's Obama, if it's, you know, heaven forbid again, Bernie Sanders.
Right,
like
right.
That.
But you're not going to be able
to just say, hey, you're an idiot. You got to just keep doing what we've been doing.
Right.
You can't do that. And so... Sometimes it's been a case of the media has emboldened these people to go out there and do things that I think really hurt our republic. And instead of trying to be better about being behind closed doors, instead it's become this narcissistic situation of like, well, I've got to go blast people on Twitter now. And that's
right.
filtered down to, you know, even kids these days of like, I'm just going to blast my classmate instead of just handling it, you know, person to person.
Exactly. Well, and then of course, then we got leaking, the leaking dynamic that takes place that just adds to the morass of it all. And, you know, we're not better as a result of that. And you've got, you have a human resource here. You've got some good people that have experience. But if they're not trained and, the rules of, engagement are not properly employed and substantiated, then you get this madness that we have right now that's on full display. And it's like, wow, I mean, you know, even the president's job is much more difficult. You know, we the people, we're paying for this mess, and, you know, it just keeps on going. But anyway, William, we've got a couple of minutes left here, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk, you know, about what's going on in Syria as well.
Well, you know, you're having Turkey right now trying to really enforce its will. It's fighting now in Idlib, and it wants to invoke the NATO charter and saying that it's at risk because now it's invaded Syria and it's getting, you know, starting to fight Russian forces and much better Syrian opposition. And I can tell you that Turkey has been trying to invoke Article 5 since.
Mm-hmm.
And Article 5, just to explain for people, Article 5 is the one that says an attack on one nation is an attack upon all nations of NATO, so we need to mobilize in order to prevent further damage to the NATO alliance. But the thing is that the sovereign territory of Turkey, of course, has never been at issue here with the Syrian civil war. But from the beginning, they were trying to invoke Article 5 because they were like, well, a few bombs went over into Turkish territory, so we need to invoke this.
Mm.
It's been about Erdogan's play to try and get more pieces of Turkey or of Syria.
Syria, exactly.
And he's just not going to get any support from NATO. We've been very firm on that. The other NATO countries have confirmed that you're not going to have us go into your war of adventure here.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's an interesting strategy by Erdogan. If you can get other people involved to do your bidding, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, hey, why not? The United Nations has, they've kind of been ready, you know, with their lips sticking out, ready to be gaffed and drawn into things like this. But, you know, I think wisdom is reigning, you know, for a change there. So, that's a positive sign. William Ogburn, strategic communications public diplomacy expert with a highly successful track record, is both the director and strategist for U.S. government entities like the U.S. House of Representatives, the Departments of Defense and State. William, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him.
is addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
With more people listening,